all that he's done for you. Yeah, your soul cries out. Hallelujah. And you can't help yourself but to thank God for what he has done. Amen. Well, one verse of scripture from last week, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Listen at what Luke, that great physician who took the time to write the history of the church, what Luke says. He says, praise God.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. K-A-Y-T. Gina, Alexandria.
Awesome ruler. Gentle redeemer. God with us, yeah.
You are tuned into the spiritual
part of the broadcast.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you. Gina, Jesus.
Let's tune in.
This week, we want to dig deeper, a little bit deeper, into how we are to live and do all the things according to the will of God, with all sincerity and honesty. As we begin to realize, you know, we serve God for our benefit and not for God's benefit. God wants us to be saved and heaven to be our home. This is what God wants for us. He established this from the beginning. You know, he can raise up a rock to get in our place, but he'd rather have us. Saints of God, God love us. If he gave his only begotten son, you know, that we might have a right to the tree of life, then you know he loves us. You know, one thing we must know, and we must keep this in mind, is that our entire life with God is about change. God's ways of change is very clear and precise. There will be no evil people in heaven. No evil communication, no corrupt communication, no corrupt people, no hate will be in heaven. No sick, no diseased, no wrongdoing people can make it to heaven. We need to understand that heaven is a holy place. God is a holy God. And in order to make it to heaven, we have to change. And in Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about that change. And this is what Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Saints, this is what is reasonable for us to do. We're supposed to present ourselves holy and righteous as a sacrifice. And he said, this is our reasonable service unto God. And he said in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Saints of God, it cannot get any clearer than this. We cannot walk with the world. We cannot talk like the world. We cannot live like the world, do what the world do, and call ourselves Christians. So how did we get to this point as to where we're so backwards and looking so backwards and like we don't know what God say do and how we're supposed to live? Well, we're going to get into that a little bit later in this message. But this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to live an acceptable life in Christ Jesus toward him. We're to be perfect before him, you know, and this is what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what that is. Paul is speaking, and as God has anointed him to speak in his behalf. See, God anoints us to speak in his behalf too. We speak as oracles of God. We don't have a gospel. We don't have a son who died for all sins. We don't have that. And we don't have the power to kill the body and the soul, but God does. He has a heaven and he has a hell where we will go to one place or the other. That's where we're going to go. We don't have any of these things. We don't have any of these things, but God does. You know, we don't have the ability to act as God does. God have the ability to act. And he has given us authority and power to act according to his power. This is how we act, according to the power of God. That's how we act. You know, and what Paul is saying is that he urgently, when he say, I beseech you, he say, I urgently beg you. I beg you, you know, to act in the ways that we're supposed to act, to present ourselves before God as holy men and women. He begs us. Paul said, I beg you, I beseech you, I beg you to act the way God wants you to act, you know? And what that means is that just like Jesus gave his body to be beaten and bruised, you know, and to be run through with the sword of the Romans, and finally he was nailed to his cross for us, you know, where he hung and he bled and he died there on that cross for us so that he could take away our sins. This is how we must sacrifice the members of our body. See, that was his body, you know, his side, that's part of his body. His feet, they had nails put in his feet, in his hands, that's part of his body. So what Paul is saying, we're going to have to sacrifice our body, you know, from wrongdoing and from evil doing. Jesus did no wrong. But we're going to have to sacrifice our bodies from wrong, you know. We don't have to die because Jesus died on the cross. We don't have to die on the cross because he died on the cross for our sins. But we're going to have to die on from the sins of the flesh. It's our hands that steal and kill and perform wrongful acts that are against God. Our hands, this is part of our body. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. So our hands have to be good. They have to do good things and they have to bless people. We have to lay our hands on people so they can be healed and delivered. That's what we have to sacrifice and do. Not go out stealing and killing people. You know, we can't do that. Our feet takes us to places where we should not go. You know, gambling halls, places of ill repute. A feet that runs to shed innocent blood. And we find this in Isaiah 59:7. Those feet that runs and to shed innocent blood. You know, it's those things that we have to sacrifice unto God. You know, we're going to begin with verse 1 of Isaiah 59. And he's continuing to tell us, to tell the people, the Israelites, he's continuing to tell those people about their sins. You know, they were not getting answers to their prayers. You know, sin was running rampant. And the people were wondering, and they wanted to know why God is not answering. why God is not hearing and why God is not answering when we call on him. And this is the gist of what was said in Isaiah 58. So he continues and he gives the people a description of true religion as to how they should live. This is what he's doing in chapters Isaiah 58 and 59. He tells them, God said, this is what he said, cry aloud. God told them, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. A trumpet is a loud sounding instrument. And transgressions is the breaking of laws. It means they're breaking laws and the commandments of God. So it says, cry aloud. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. See, God is going to show you where you error and do not the truth. He's going to show you where you go wrong. He said, and show them their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. And then Isaiah continued to say, so tell God's people what God is saying. This is what we need to do. Just like Isaiah, we need to tell God's people, the people that's in the pulpit, we need to tell God's people what God is saying. You know, in Isaiah 59, he says, behold, the hands of the Lord is not short that he cannot save. Saints of God, you need to understand, God, it's nothing wrong with God. God's hands are not short that he cannot save. They're not short. You know, neither is his ears heavy that he cannot hear. Listen, what's happening to you when you can't get answers to prayers and you think God is not hearing, so you just go off and do things your way. He says, neither is his ears heavy that he cannot hear. Listen what happens. But your iniquities, that means your sins, have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. See, God will turn his face from you. When you continue to sin, you're a Christian. I'm not talking to sinners. I'm talking to Christians. People that say that they're living Christ-like. But when you start stepping off into the world, and he said, when you start moving into the things of the world, he said, don't be conformed to the things of this world. Don't act just like this world. Get away from that. Be transformed. When you see the scriptures and God is telling you to do something that you don't see in the world, that's transformation. And that's how you're supposed to take yourself in transformation so that you could do the will of God and God will be pleased with you. So in the very first verse, Isaiah is telling the people, God doesn't have heavy ears. He can hear everything, you know, and his hands are not his hand, because he uses his right hand. His hand is not shortened that he cannot save. See, God can save anybody. He can save everybody. But the thing is, it's only the ones that want to be saved. Only the ones that want the will of God to be done in their life. God's hand is not beyond the reach of salvation. He sent Jesus to save the whole world. So he can reach out his hand at any time and do anything that his words say he can do. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he will do it. And if he spoke it, he will make it good. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that he can't do. Isaiah went on to inform those people, the people of Israel, that their iniquities, you know, that's the problem. Our iniquities and our sins. Where they're breaking laws and not keeping the commandments. This is why and this is how you're not hearing from God. And you think it's something wrong with God. It's nothing wrong with God. God will turn from those people that do wicked and evil. but he'll turn to the ones and hear and listen